If you don't know that God is in this house, if you can't feel the presence of God in this house, if you can't get under the spout where the glory comes out, you're missing it. You're missing it. God is the great I am. God has got you, man. God has got you. He is the only way. He is the I am. Matthew 18:3 says that you can't come into heaven unless you are like a child. Do you know why? They have the greatest faith. They hold nothing against you. You can beat them today and they love you the same. You got to be like a child. I have a treasure box here. And I'll tell you something in a second. I have a treasure box here. And in this treasure box, what's in here changed the way I think. It's going to change the way you think, I pray. Okay? So I'm going to open my treasure box and then I'm going to tell you what happened this morning. I have in here a little piggy, Muppets. This guy changed my life. This is Kermit, okay? And Kermit's friend is Gonzo, okay? Now, these little guys are going to help me do my sermon today. Now, let me tell you what happened. I brought this box in here this morning, and I set it down. Actually, I brought it in twice this morning. I messed them up. The praise team was in here, and they were getting ready to do their practice, and I brought it in here, and I said, I need to work with this real quick. Let me do this, and I walked back out, and I brought it back in. The second time I brought it back in, it had stuff in it. So I said to them, I stood down there, and I said, do not open the box. Don't peek. Don't peek. God love Miss Vicky. She stood right here and she says to me, but Pastor Linda, I'm not going to be in here. I'm going to be with the kids and now I want to know what's in the box. And I said to her, it's okay. Go watch it. You'll find out what's in the box. So I come back in here and then I've got to make sure that the box lid opens without tipping the box over. Josh is sitting over here and Amanda's sitting over there and everybody else is doing their thing. Understand me? Everybody else is doing their thing. So I walk in, I flip open the box, I shut the box and I turn to walk away. And he says, I saw it. And everybody stops. And I said, you be quiet and you be quiet. But let me tell you something. Is that not what God is doing? God has got a treasure in a box and you are missing it. God has got his treasure for you in a box and you're looking at something else. You got your mind somewhere else. I am is my thing. Do you pay attention to what you sing? Do you pay attention to what you hear? It says, when I'm empty, you overflow. In the wreckage, your word is gold. They are talking about God, my friend. In the valley, you are my strength. In the battle, you're my victory. He is your victory. Call on him. In the chaos, you are my peace. Grab the peace and sustain. Hold on to it. In the desert, my only drink. Fearless, I take a stand. My God is the great I am. And if the I am is in you, then what are you fearing? What are you doing? What are you saying? God is God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are made in his image. And if you are made in his image, he is in you, not beside you. He's in you. No kingdom, no power, no ruler can stand against the I am. No drug anywhere from hell and back can stand between you and the great I am. There is nothing that can stand between any marriage and the great I am. There is nothing that can stand between any addiction and the great I am. It says it. No kingdom, no power, no ruler can stand against the great I am. No army, no weapons, no evil can stand against the great I am. Who's here today? The great I am. The great I am is here every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Monday, Monday through Monday. He's here. You want him? Come get him. You want him? Come get him. No sickness, no pain, depression can't stand against the great I am. No hunger, no fear, no injustice can stand against the great I am. No kingdom, no power, no ruler. Nothing can stand against the great I am. I'm going to talk to you about I am. And I'm going to talk to you about Jesus declaring I am. But I'm going to talk to you about your voice, your words, because you bring on you what you bring on you, and then you blame God for it. I am is a very powerful statement. One of the shortest sentences in the human language, and I'll tell on myself. I did say it was the only short statement in the human language, but it is not. He wept. I cried. Okay, so it's one of the sentences, it's a shortest sentence, or one of them. No truer words are ever spoken than I am. Why? Because you are making a declaration over yourself. Now, if you make that declaration over someone else, you are responsible for that declaration. Think about it. No other words poses the power of this statement. I am said I am. That, my friend, is power. And when you use that phrase, I am, you are putting power behind what you are saying. You better check yourself. I am, the two most powerful words, for what you put behind them shapes your reality. Remember that. While we are taught that God spoke everything into existence, we're seldom taught that when he wanted to make a stance, he used the phrase, I am, which meant, there's nothing to talk about. Once I say I am, we're done. It's over, period. With just a word, God had created the existence, yes? He spoke. He didn't touch anything. He just said it, and it was done. You are created in the image of God. Watch what you say. Exodus 3:13-15 in the Message says, then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, God of your fathers sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? They ask me, what is his name? This is Moses. Moses didn't want to go. He was afraid. Matter of fact, he even told God, I got a stuttering problem. I'm the wrong guy for you. Send Aaron. He's better. Oh, no. Linda had been up there going, hey, fix my stuttering problem. I'm going, Jack. Aaron can come along, but I'm going. I'm going to go because Linda's stubborn like that. What is his name? What do I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell the people of Israel, I am sent you. They don't need any explanation of who I am. They should already know who I am. So just tell them that I am sent you. That's like the common phrase around here. People want to get me jacked sideways. They come up to me and say, Bishop said. Laugh about it. I'm serious. Bishop said. Like that's going to move me, because the first thing I'm going to do is, hey, Bishop, so-and-so said, did you say that? God continued with Moses. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, sent me to you. This has always been my name, and this is how I will always be known. Now, in the green down there says, God could have called himself anything else. Scripture shows us he was everything to them. Understand? He could have said, Moses, tell them the God of your father sent you. Oh, no. The God of Abraham sent you. Oh, no. The God of Isaac sent you. Oh, but wait, the God of Jacob sent you. But no, he said, tell them the I am sent you. Nothing else said. I am is the greatest phrase you'll ever know. God is the great I am. And his character never changes. This revelation came to me, and this was a nugget I kept from Donna. Think about it. The only statement in human language to represent the Trinity, past, present, and future, and the meaning of it never changes. I am yesterday. I am today, and I am tomorrow. You show me something else in the human language that does not change its existence, because we learn about cry, cried, and crying. Yes? Show me something that doesn't change. I am. I am yesterday, I am today, and I am tomorrow, and I am in you. What is God's name? Scholars, this is Pastor Donna's nugget. Scholars would beg to differ with me. Doctorates would probably chop my head off. They would say, God's name is I am. We just read it in Exodus, yes? That's what the Bible says, I am. While this is biblically true, we've made it personally wrong. Understand that statement? We have made it personally wrong. Why? God created us in his image, and ever since we've been returning his favor by creating him in our image. Wow. What a statement. Because you know what? The only God you see in me is the God I allow you to see. The only God you see in me is the God that I want you to see. That means that I can create any God I want and tell you that it's the God and only one. So I'm doing injustice because I'm creating a God that does not exist. Now, if I walk by faith, I walk the talk, I do the things, and I preach the word infallible because it's God's words, then I'm showing you the great I am. But too many times we want people to see our God. We want people to know our God because this is what we do. Again, I pose the question to you a second time to make you think about it, okay? Many of you have taken the I am stance, doing life your way, relying on yourselves, and leaving God completely out of the equation. But yet you are the first to gripe and complain and cry that God is not on your side. And you didn't even invite him in the door. You got your foot in, but your whole body is out. Don't work that way. There are no fences in heaven, just letting you know. No fences in heaven. If this is in you, then reality should be, what is God's name? Linda. Because I'm creating what I want you to see. Yeah? I'm creating what I want you to see. But that's wrong, because we know who God is. We know who the I am is. We know that there is only one. So we need to be careful what we create, what we say, and how we react to it. We take a stance. It's once been said, God can say, one can safely assume we've created God in our image when it turns out that God hates the same people we do. Now, y'all looking at me like I'm jacked sideways, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to get in everybody's business. I'm going to get on a soapbox. Just saying. Forgive me. Every one of you expect God to hate the person that stepped on your last nerve. Every one of you do. When somebody ticks you off or somebody says something you didn't like, God, did you see that? Are you not on my side? You're creating God in your own image. And you think that God hates that person that you don't like? You think that God hates that person that you want to punch? He's sitting there looking at you like, dude, have you lost your ever-loving mind? Like, I love everybody. I don't know who you are, but I'm the I am. And see, there's a line here, and you on that side. Because I don't hate anybody. I don't even hate the sinner. Scripture says that I will no one to die and go to hell. I hate no one. I love everyone. Maybe it's time that we should stop creating God in our image and let him create us in his. I am declarations. Jesus made 7 of them. He said, I am 7 different times. None of them were negative. Not one. So what are you doing using the most powerful words in the world to declare doom and despair over your life? Why are you saying what you're saying? We've taught many times that your words give life. Everything you say is a prayer. Yeah? Not, see me, I'll get you the sermons. John 6:35, the voice says, and this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the bread that gives life. If you come to my table and eat, you will never go hungry. Believe in me and you will never go thirsty. He said, I am bread to your soul. I am bread. I sustain you, Jeff. I got you. That's what God says. But yet all too often that bread just ain't no good. All too often we run around being like the Israelites and don't want the manna. Let me tell you something. He's going to do you just like the Israelites. He's going to give you meat and it's going to be poison. He's going to give you something that's going to get on you. Ajax won't take off. Bread for the physical with sustained life. Jesus in the spiritual offers and sustains spiritual life. What kind of bread are you sharing with others? With what you're saying when you say, I am, and we're going to go there. With what you're saying, what are you creating? What are you telling people about you? I am is a stance. Does it feed them or does it destroy them? Are you giving them life or are you taking life from them? Is your I am statement feeding them poison or is it feeding them manna? John 8:12, the voice says, on another occasion, Jesus spoke to the crowds again. Again, this is Jesus speaking. I am the light that shines through the cosmos. If you walk with me, you will thrive in the nourishing light that gives life and will not know darkness. All y'all running around out there, y'all seeking the darkness. I'm gonna go there. Social media. Bars. Parties, ungodly things. That's darkness. That ain't light. That ain't light. We had a great party, a great party. And there was nothing dark about it. But can I tell you that you can't hide the light in the darkness so those people that used to ask you to go to the bar with them that don't ask you to go to the bar with them anymore, that's because you light. They don't want no part of light. You get somebody that ain't had a good night's sleep, other than me. I'm a little jacked sideways anyway, but you get somebody that ain't had no 8 hours sleep, and you flip on a light, what's the first thing they do? Oh! Shouldn't we be that way? When somebody wants to drag us into the trenches and the devil forsake or the God-forsaken place that's only lifting up Satan, shouldn't we be like that? Oh, no, we walk right in like, hey, I'm here to change the world. Well, when you walked in there to change the world, your world just stepped outside. So you on the inside without him. Sorry for your luck. In a world of darkness, Jesus offers himself as a guiding light. What does the darkness reveal about you? I would venture to say, I hope nothing. Because if you have light in you, there is no darkness. Are all the I am statements, or all your I am statements doom and despair? And we're going to go there. What is your response when God asks what the children of the light are doing dancing with the children of the darkness? I did a sermon talking about dancing with the devil. He's coming. He will entertain you like nothing before. You will think your Boaz just arrived. You better be checking him. John 10:9, International Version, says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the gate. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. He said, I am the gate. You want to unlock that gate to get on the other side, to get into heaven? You need to be knowing who you know. You need to be showing some light inside of you. You need to be getting into some word. You need to be getting some godly counsel. You need to be getting some godly friends. It is said, and it is factual, that when you get saved, all of your friends are no longer your friends. Kind of like when you get married, all your friends aren't your friends anymore. Why? Because you can't go party anymore. You can't go out with this girl and that girl and that girl and that girl and don't tell that one over there. Yeah. Yeah, I see, I know some things. I don't cover that gray up just for looks, you know. I cover it up because, just saying. Jesus protects his followers as the shepherd protects his sheep. Have you left the door open? I did a sermon, Close the Gate. Have you left the door open by your speech? You see, what we carelessly say, how we carelessly act, and what we carelessly do allows Satan to go, whoop, foot's in, legs in, body's in. Thus, close your gate. Has your I am statements left the sheep compromised and now filled with regrets? Pastor Donna just did a sermon on regrets. Bishop's notorious for saying, I don't want to live a life of regrets. But yet we all do. We strive not to. And we strive so hard to do the things we want to do, but we don't strive hard enough to do what God wants us to do. Matter of fact, in some cases, we even dismiss him. In some cases, it's not what we want to hear, so we really didn't hear it at all. Can I use you for an example? I'm standing in the back, and I'm praying for what I don't know because I'm praying in the Spirit. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to get, you know, my mind focused, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, I'm going to be real for you, okay? I'm trying to get away from God so I can concentrate on my message. And the further I try to get away from him, the stronger he begins to get. I almost run down that aisle when I realized he was down here at the altar. Do you know why? Because I was praying for him and didn't even know it. I didn't know it until I got right there and God said, you will not run from me anymore. You will go to the front because somebody needs you. Did I know that it was Greg? Not until I got to the corner over there. I had been fighting it since I walked in the door because I wanted to get my mind on the sermon. But I promise you this, I won't ever fight it again. I'll beat him to the altar and be waiting next time. I'll beat him to the altar and be waiting next time. John 10:11 says, and this is the voice, and actually 10:14 too, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Okay? I am the good shepherd. Then it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The closer you draw to the great I am, the easier it is to hear him. The closer you get to knowing him, the more in love you begin to be. I can tell you right now, there is nothing that could keep me away from working Faith Ministries except for the hospital, and that is a true statement. I missed one time. I was laying in the hospital. I have come just like Bishop and laid on the back row. I have come and laid in the back room, sugar crashing, but I was here. Because I know where the anointing is, and the anointing is where I am is. But I am is in you. So you carry a little bit of that anointing, or is your light gone out? If your light is gone out, you need to get some more anointing and you need to get it relit so other people can be seen, or so that other people can see you and they can be drawn into the kingdom of God. We're losing a battle because our light is dim to gone. It's not bright. It's dim to gone. So what are you doing to recharge? I'm here on Wednesdays. What are y'all doing? I'm here on Fridays. What are y'all doing? Think about it. If you don't get in the anointing and you don't stay there, Satan is waiting for you. He got a pretty package, and he's going to give it to you. And you're going to open it. You know why? Because you're curious what's in there. Because he's not coming to you as the little red devil with the long tail and the pitchfork and he's coming, he's pretty. He's pretty. He is not what you think he is. He's going to come in that exceptional, beautiful, oh my gosh, this is it package. It's coming for you. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over all of us. Here's an insight for you. We need to realize that we have a creator who is interested in us all. He sees us and knows everything about us. God watches over us all constantly. And I'm going to probably mess this word up. Omniscient? Okay, what Donna said. Okay. He knows everything, okay? I practiced that word so much that I knew I'd blow it. But anyway, he knows everything in the universe. Do you know why? Because he created it. When you build something, you know that you know that you know that it's there. Yes? Got a story to tell you here. My son taught a class, and these kids would come in and they would destroy everything. It was at the YMCA, and they would destroy everything. I mean, destroy it. Literally destroy it. Now they're children. So he got to watching them, and he said to me, he said, I don't know what to do with them, but they're destroying everything that I put in front of them. Now pay attention, because every one of you are the kids. Okay, this is God. This is God, okay? They come in and they destroy everything that I lay out, everything that I do. I mean, I go in, I buy new stuff all the time, and I give it to them, and I just want them to be happy, and I want them to take care of it. So what does he do? He has them all take Legos and build a little something and line them up. And as he walked by them, he kicked them. He said, Mom, it broke my heart, but they were all crying. I said, did they learn their lesson? He said, you know, they never broke anything again. Is that what God's got to do to you? Walk by and kick you? I want to be kicked by God. He's pretty big. I probably wouldn't even fit on his toe. Proverbs 5:21 through 23, International Version, says, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. Do you realize, guys, there is no sinner or saint there? For your ways, saint, are in full view of the Lord. For your ways, sinner, no. That means he watches over all of us, all of the time. He examines all of our paths. He examines everything we do. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sin hold them fast. For the lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. When you make I am declarations such as, I'm getting sick. Take your medication, baby, because it's knocking at your door. You just breathed it into life, so go ahead and take that pill because it's coming. If you're like me, I don't want to be sick, so when I claim to be sick, I'm already popping the Tylenol, man. Think about it. I am not worthy. I am not smart. I am not accepted. I am tired. I'm angry. I'm sick. On and on and on and on we go, and we blame God. God, why did you give me this disease? But you've been proclaiming you got anemia for 6 months now. God, why did I lose my house? But you're spending your house payment somewhere else. When you verbally speak things like this, you're destroying something beautifully created by God, and that is you. When you tell God you are sick, you're destroying the stripes that Jesus said you are healed. John 11:25, the voice says, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the resurrection and the source of all life. Those who believe in me will live even in death. We had somebody Friday night sit here on the front row and say, I don't think about death. Buddy, I do. You know why I think about death? Because I want to know where I'm going. Just like you know why I drive everywhere? Because if I die, I want to know that I did it at my own hands. I want to know what's going to get me, yes? I want to know what's standing behind curtain number 3. Yeah. There is a death that is far worse than physical. It is an eternal damnation in hell. Now notice I said that God cared about the sinner and the saint, and that God didn't will any man to go to hell. God didn't will you in hell. You willed you in hell. Bishop teaches that you don't go to hell as a visitor, which means there ain't gonna be no party when you get there. Oh no, you're gonna live in hell when you're in hell. It ain't no party. You don't get ice water and crumpets and tea. You get gnashing of the teeth. You get hot coals. You get to burn for eternity. If you want to know what burning for eternity is, go stick your hand on a hot stove and wait for it to heal. And then think about it 10 times worse to the core of your body. That's okay, don't go back. Death is not the final word to a Christian. Do you understand? That's why I couldn't wrap my mind around, I don't think about it. I do think about it because I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that I'm right and I'm aligned and I'm in position, and that every blessing that I have that's coming from God, I'm going to get. You better be thinking about where your eternity is. You need to think about where you're going to spend eternity. John 14:6, the voice says, and this is Jesus, I am the path, the truth, and the energy of life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which means no one is coming to God but through Jesus. Jesus is the source of all access, truth, and knowledge about God. One must remember that Jesus is the only way to God. Who have you ministered to in the last 6 months? Who sees Jesus in your I am statements? I just went through a whole bunch of them that said I'm sick. Do you think that that's Jesus in there? I don't think so. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. Can't get any plainer than that. No I am, no life. When we attach ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. When we submit to Jesus, we cannot help but bear fruit that will honor our Father. Go ahead to the next one. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump to that first, for the one that brings up before the clip. I've got two clips that I want to show you. And in those two clips, they're very long clips, but I want to show them because what happened is you, is me. This is the way we react to life. And then we expect it to go better. Go to the one where it says the party, the Christmas party. That should be the one right before it. Okay. It's a Christmas party and everyone is having fun. And I'm talking about Kermit and the Very Merry Muppet Christmas. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to go see it to understand, okay? The whole gist of everything. Because this is us. We got a party going on. We're happy in church. And we got Kermit walking through the church. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. I'm having a bad day. You can't understand what's going on in my life. Dude, you're in a church. You're in a hospital. Don't tell us we don't understand. We completely understand. And if we don't, we'll get you somebody who does. The field agent, a.k.a. I call him his angel, is dispatched to help him in his hot mess. When Kermit makes this statement, lights, turn it up loud.
Kermit! Oh, dear boss, I'm too late! See, I've already blown my mission! Come on, Kermit. Hang in there, buddy.
Hey, who are you? Why are you breathing on me?
You're alive! Now I can save you.
Yeah, well, do me a favor and don't bother. Nobody can save me.
I think I can. You see, my name is Daniel, and I've been sent from above in the name of justice to right a wrong and help you get the theater back.
You? You look like some kind of an ice cream man from Hello, Dolly.
Well, normally I'm an accountant.
Yeah, well, normally I'd love to sit and listen to this, but I've got other things on my mind. Goodbye.
No, you don't understand. I know that Bitterman changed the contract.
How do you know that? Oh, wait a second. You don't run one of those Muppet Internet fan sites, do you?
No. I'm a friend, and I'm here to help. Yeah. I'm sure if we put our heads together, we can come up with a plan.
Sure, whatever.
What would the boss do? Hey, we'll call the press. Alert the media! Start a frenzy!
No way, pal. Bitterman owns the paper, she owns the TV stations, and 3/4 of the internet.
How could one person own so much?
Corporate synergy. It's out of control. Now, could you please just leave me alone? Please!
Actually, I'm not allowed to. Besides, you should not be alone right now. You're not yourself.
Yeah.
Kermit the Frog would not walk out on his friends on Christmas Eve.
Walk out? What do you know about my friends, huh? I'll tell you what I know. My friends would be better off without me. That's what I know.
What? That is not true.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. In fact, I've ruined their lives, and I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, no. You did not just say that. You did not just say that.
I did just say it. I said, I wish I'd never been born.
What am I supposed to do now?
I wish I'd never been born. There, I said it again. I wish I'd never been B-O-R-N born. I wish I'd never been born.
Chapter 12, paragraph 2. If the subject tells the field agent that he had wished he'd never been born.
Psst, come close. I wish I'd never been born.
Then the field agent is required to adjust the world accordingly.
Yeah, do whatever you'd like, because, did I mention, I wish I had never been born.
Okay, calm down, Daniel.
I wish I'd never been born. I wish I'd never been born. What are you doing?
Well, I saw this in a training video once.
What?
Welcome to the world in which you were never born.
Now that's a funny clip, right? That's what y'all act like. When God is trying to tell you something, you running around wishing you'd never been born. You running around making all those I am statements. You running around doing everything that you're not supposed to be doing while he's standing there trying to help you. He sends help in. What's the first thing you do? What are you doing? Get off of me. Leave me alone. Yeah? I know y'all think I'm Jack sideways, but I'm being honest. I'm telling the truth. That's right. Preach it. Okay? In the movie, Kermit makes the statement, I wish I'd never been born. In the process, it's a word Linda doesn't like, okay? But in the process, he finds out what it's like to never be born. Do you want to find out what it's like to never be born? Do you want to find out what it's like not to walk with God? It's not a pleasant place. Anyone who's ever walked on the other side understands it is not a pleasant place. And I would venture to say that all of us has at one time dabbled the other side. You know how I know? Because you're sitting in front of me. There ain't nobody so perfect that they haven't come from the sinner side to the saint side. And there ain't nobody so perfect that they ain't gone from the saint side to the sinner side. It's a fact of life. The field agent takes him to a place of never being born. He has to go through and understand what life is like to have never been born. So he goes through his friends one by one, individually, and he sees their life without Kermit. Can I let you in on a secret? You were put here on earth to help someone know Jesus. Otherwise, the word would have never said, go and make disciples. You were put here not to look cute and be a couch potato. You were put here to bring people into the kingdom of God. Who have you asked to come to church? Pastor Marjorie and I went out on a venture and we talked to everybody who'd listen to us. I even got their cards stuck up in the office, calling them in. What are you doing? What has God told you to do that you haven't done yet? Why are you proclaiming that you wished you'd have never been born? And that's just a figurative of speech. Why are you proclaiming whatever it is that you're proclaiming? Stop. But in the process of going through and finding all of his friends and finding life without him, he realized that they were hurting people because he brought joy. He brought happiness. He brought love. You know, to someone, you're that person. To someone who is hurting and needs that friend, to someone who just needs you to pick up the phone and say, hey, man, I got you. I'm here. You're that person. Why are we doing nothing? Why are we doing nothing? God told me to call a woman one time. I called her. I don't know why. She ended up telling Bishop that she was getting ready to commit suicide. But I did what I was told. I went to that spot. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to just push people away. We're supposed to pull them in. But once you get them in, it's not your business to clean them. That's not what you were called to do. You were called to love them in their hot mess, which means every one of y'all have to love me in my hot mess. You got me? My little mini me over there. What's the next? Is there another piece before the next video? Okay. Life without Kermit causes him to have a heart change. This is very important. You've seen that he was, and by the way, the next time y'all go around here and y'all acting jacked up like that and y'all go like this, I'm going to remind y'all of Kermit. Because me and Pastor Marjorie were walking down in the mall, I think it was, and we were talking and she said something. And I went, oh, no, we don't want to have a Kermit experience. cancel. But it's all in fun and games, but it really changed my way of thinking. I watch what I say very carefully because what you say, you give life. All those, I am getting sick again, just take your pill. It's coming.
Daniel? 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 Daniel, where are you? Daniel! Daniel, where are you? I want my life back, please! Daniel?
Feel so small and useless, ambiguous and clueless. I just can't seem to get anything right. I feel so invisible tonight. All the plastic Santas doing hula dances remind me that I don't belong. All the fake snow falling and my friends not calling leave me nothing but this song. On the most miserable Christmas of my life, the most miserable, horrible, obnoxious, intolerable Christmas.
Hey, don't give up. You just haven't found the right audience.
I'm so tired of scrounging. I've had my chance.
If only I could go back and take another crack at all the things I've left undone, I'd do them right. If I had my friends and family here tonight, I'd have the most wonderful Christmas of my life. Everyone matters. Everyone matters. matters. Even the smallest of the smallest can make the biggest dreams come true. Everyone matters.
Everyone matters.
For worse or for better. We can change the world around us with everything we do. Even you. Even me. You and me.
Yeah. Thanks, pal. Mm-hmm. What was your name?
Kermit.
Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a great Christmas, Kermit.
Thanks.
I'll see you around the mall sometime.
Yeah. Right. So long, Gonzo. Merry Christmas.
Kermit, I'm sorry I couldn't help you save the theater. I guess I wasn't much help at all.
You know, the theater's just a building. I mean, I just want to get my life back. All I care about is being with my friends again. What's wrong?
Kermit, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't know how to get your life back.
What do you mean? Are you saying I'm stuck this way, here, like this?
Well, you see, I've never done this before.
Yeah, but I can't leave my friends like this. There must be something in your book or something.
Well, you see, it really doesn't go into a lot of detail on the subject.
No, but... Oh, I wish I'd never said, I wish I'd never been born. I wish I'd never said that. How could I have said that? Oh, I could have just said, Kermit, you're having a bad day, maybe, or Kermit, maybe things aren't quite going your way, but no, I had to say, I wish I'd never been born. How selfish. It's ridiculously selfish, and I'm stuck here in this reality along with all my friends. Oh, I don't believe this. How am I ever going to get back? Oh, what a ridiculous thing to do.
Yes.
I give up.
You can't. That's great! Oh, well, that's a little weird. Okay, thank you.
This.
Kermit, I can send you back.
I appreciate your help, Daniel, but there's... What? You can?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific, that's great!
But it's a little strange.
Listen, whatever it takes, just do it. I'm ready. Just do it.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah? Huh? Oh, that was disgusting. The park! It's back! I'm back! And I got spit in my eye, but I don't even care. You did it, Daniel! Yay!
Yes, I did!
Yes, thank you!
Don't thank me. Just please go be with your friends.
Right, I'll go be with my friends! Hey, Daniel, is there anything I could do for you?
Notice the change of heart that he had. But isn't that like us? Don't we stand before God when he gives us exactly what we ask for and tell him that we never wanted it to begin with? He won't force his will on you. He only gives you what you ask. Scripture tells us that ask anything in my name and I'll give it. So why we all get up, bent out of shape when he gives us what we ask for? My only prayer through this whole sermon is that you understand the power that you possess in the statement, I am whatever, whatever, whatever. Because you are going to be that thing. Whatever you're calling in, you are going to get. Like it or not, you breathe life to it. I hope that you guys enjoyed the clips. Go watch the movie. It's a blessing. I love everybody. Father God, we thank you for this sermon. We thank you for the knowledge of the word, because without knowledge, we're lost people. Without knowledge, we do foolish things. So, Father, I ask for a covering over each and every person that's within the sound of my voice, that you would bring back when those I am statements start flying, that you would bring back the simple little green frog that changes our life. And, Father, that we would learn to meditate on our thoughts, because your word says to take every thought captive. and that our words are our prayers and our declarations do come to pass. So, Father, I ask a blessing over Working Faith Ministries and over Bishop and Pastor Marjorie as they go back to Fort Lauderdale. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen.